You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, this is former Pro Bowl center for the Buffalo Bills, Eric Wood, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellas on the Circling the Wagons podcast. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times, here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey, Bills Mafia. Welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. I'm your host, Nate. Thank you guys so much for joining us for our first off-season episode of Circling the Wagons, where we're going to discuss some Bills news and notes as far as coaching goes, people promoted, people hired, people going to different teams, stuff like that. And then we're going to go into our awards for the Buffalo Bills 2023 season. If you've been following us throughout the regular season, we do Wall of Fame, Wall of Shame for each game. And this, we're going to do something similar to this for the entire season as it pertains to players on the Buffalo Bills. Maybe we'll talk like biggest disappointment, biggest surprise, stuff like that. But first, I'm joined by my co-hosts, John and Mike. Fellas, it's good to talk Bills with you guys. Real quick, just emotional check. I'm kind of at the point, let me know where you guys are, because I'm kind of at the point of, like, I, for the most part, stayed off social media the last couple of weeks. Like, here and there, I checked it or maybe posted something here or there, but nothing to the extent of, like, during playoffs, right? Like, playoffs, you're checking every hour, every 10 minutes. Like, you're just constantly updating. What am I going to find? What's going on? What are people posting? What are people saying? What's the news? And now I'm just kind of like, meh. You know, like, just, ugh. I'm starting to get out of the funk, but I was in a funk for, I mean, it's been 2 weeks now. I was in a funk for at least a good week. How about you guys?
Well, it's just like any week during the regular season. They win, you can't absorb enough content, and they lose, you don't hear it at all until the day before the game, the next game. Mm-hmm. The only difference here is there is no next game. So
yeah, it's been tough. It's been tough. Are you starting to feel better, John? Like, from that loss, are you starting to get over it, or does that one loom large? Because this one, like, I'd argue, like, the Bills, the Chiefs win this one. I mean, there's an argument, finally, for this being potentially the Bills' Super Bowl, because unlike every other season where the Bills have lost in the postseason, that team that beat them has never won a game, ever. And we just witnessed last week the Chiefs being the Ravens in dramatic fashion. So, like, this one feels different than other Super Bowls, you know?
I kind of disagree. Any loss is terrible for me, so let's get that out of the way. But, like, from, like, a Super Bowl perspective, like, this is our year type of thing, like, I think 13 seconds was worse than this. Like, it felt like that was, if you're going to pick a year, that would have been the year. Not to say that it wasn't, and it's not this year. Like, you can't say any of the years are the year, but if you're going to pick one, maybe that would have been it. But they're in it in all of these years. That's the thing that you got to remember. Still Josh Allen, and they still have an amazing offense. You look at, not to get ahead of ourselves here, but you look at free agency, the offense is largely intact, minus Gabe Davis, which they needed another receiver anyway. Defense, they're going to lose some guys, but through the year, I feel McDermott did really great job at compensating for that, and also fixing things in the defense on the fly. Like, next year could be the year also. Like, I'm not that worried about next year.
So it's funny because this year, I'd agree with you that 2021 felt like the year. And oddly enough, that was the last season, the last postseason where we were really healthy, right? Like, even last year, we lost Micah Hyde, we lost Von Miller. This year, we lost Trey White, we lost Matt Milano, we lost, I mean, Von Miller was non-existent, but, like, you know, we didn't have Terrell Bernard in that game. We didn't. To me, I think the 2021 game was closer to it being the season if there was a time that we were going to win the Super Bowl. But damn, like, if it wasn't for those injuries, man, if it wasn't for Benford being out, like, Rasul Douglas wasn't 100%. Like, there were so many injuries the Bills had to overcome just to come within 3 points. Like, I feel like we're just a Matt Milano away from winning that game against the Chiefs.
Right. And the other thing to think about, it's not just about us and our injuries. The Chiefs played probably their best offensive game of the year in that game. If they didn't, then we might have won anyway, despite all those injuries. So it's, you know, all those factors combined.
And the Bills on offense put up the best. I mean, the Chiefs have a very good defense. You said the Chiefs offense is struggling. They are. I mean, their defense is not exactly carrying them, but they're doing a lot of the lifting. And the Bills had the best offensive output against that defense in the postseason. The Dolphins could only get, what, 6 points? The Ravens could only score 10 points. The Bills scored 24. The Bills played them really well. So if it wasn't, could you look at that as, like, instead of it being the 13 seconds game, like, maybe the Bills-Chiefs game this year, and I'm not trying to look at this negatively or depress anyone, but, like, is it a Stephon Diggs catch away from the Bills being in the Super Bowl, or is it, you know, that pass to Shakir in the last couple of minutes? If Deion Dawkins doesn't get nudged into Josh Allen as he's following through on that throw, do the Bills win it? You know, there's so many questions I have that I will never get answered. And it's just stinks because I kind of look at this Super Bowl a little bit differently than the last one.
Let me tell you something. I'm really glad that the first three things that came to your head were not Tyler Bass miss, because I think he makes that kick, they probably lose anyway. And so many people are shitting on him, and I don't think that's necessary at all.
Yeah, I agree. It was so weird. It was like a wide right thing. Like, that wide right thing doesn't even faze me. And yeah, I mean, he had a bad postseason for sure. But yeah, I mean, we talked about that somewhat in post game of, like, you know, you give the field goal was kind of dumb. I mean, it makes sense, but I mean, you give Patrick Mahomes a minute 49 and he just has to kick a field goal to win with two timeouts left. Like, the Bills aren't necessarily winning that one. Most likely aren't winning that one. Mike, your thoughts on the season coming to an end? Like, your thoughts on the team? Are you optimistic? Knowing you, you're probably optimistic a little bit. Like, where are you at mentally? Because I know a lot of Bills fans are still kind of in pain or whatever from that loss.
Oh, it was a tough loss, no doubt. And I don't put it on Bass at all. I agree 100%. You can't. I disagree with the play calling at the end of the game for sure, but I think that's on McDermott. But if you look around the league, Bills are in great spot. I think we love quarterback, coach, GM. Hopefully we continue to get better, because we're always talking about, oh, this other team is making improvements, this other team is making improvements, and we do just, it seems like we run it back a lot of the time. So I'm excited for the draft, and hopefully we could get some studs, particularly wide receiver, and McDermott will play some rookies.
Yeah, but you'll have to.
I'm relative to everybody else outside the Chiefs, we got a great situation and we're in it year in and year out. And you look at history, a lot of the teams that eventually punched their way through it, like the Colts for so many years before they won it, the Saints, like, where they, like, a lot of teams, it takes them a while. It's certainly taking them longer than we would like, but they're right in the thick of things every year.
Yeah, I agree. It is a good place to be in for sure, with the way that, you know, we always have Josh, right? The more every season that the Bills are somewhat in contention, I just realize as a fan that there's so much that goes into it. There's coaching that goes into it, obviously the execution, your players, and then there's things that are just complete luck, like health and the ball bouncing the right way, you know, like like that Ravens, you know, the fumble for the Ravens at the half yard line last week, and then it ends up getting, you know, punched out and, you know, recovered by the Chiefs, like stuff like that, you know, that you can't just account for. Like, it has to go your way. Maybe it goes your way more likely or more often if you're a well-seasoned team like the Chiefs than it does for other teams like the Bills. That, but I mean, some of it is luck, and the Bills just, in my opinion, just haven't been lucky enough to get there. If I can, I don't want to blame it on just chance and just whew, just throwing it up in the air like it just didn't. But I think there is a big thing to luck.
Yeah, luck or script, whatever you want to call it.
It's funny, Nyheim Hines, I don't know if you saw his tweet. He's just like, dude, there's no script or whatever. Like, trust me, he's like, you know, he's like, I forgot exactly what his example was, but he said this and that, and then all of a sudden he muffed the punt on the next game or something. That so he's like, there's no way it could be scripted.
He was told to say that.
Yeah, that's exactly. Exactly. Nice one, Nyheim. way to read what the script or write what the script tells you to write. I'm just more of aware of like the luck factor, and it's just like you just got to get luck, and the Bills were unlucky this year, like the lack thereof of having luck, because I think if the Bills have the defense, the players that they needed when they had to. I mean, they were banged up going into the playoffs, and then they just got decimated in the Steelers game, and they lost like three or four starters on defense. But like you said, John, you know, the Bills are bringing back a lot of their offense. And, you know, Mike said about wide receivers coming back, which is a good thing. You know, the Bills being forced to draft a wide receiver, Gabe Davis being the only guy that's not under contract next season. That's okay. I'm okay with that, because in the end, it's really what Josh Allen and the offense does.
And you look at the biggest need on offense, it's probably still receiver, right? Receiver number two to be eventual receiver number one. But they do still have Diggs, Kincaid, and Shakir. I know people are thinking maybe Diggs has lost a step, but those aren't really three good players to start with, right?
Yeah. And Cook, when he doesn't drop the ball, Knox at times. So let's talk about offensive coordinator, offense on the offensive side. Let's talk about coaching changes or coaching non-changes, as it were. The Buffalo Bills announced formally that previous, I guess you would call him temporary or preliminary offensive coordinator that took over for Ken Dorsey, Joe Brady. He is now formally the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, which is kind of nice because he was getting a head coaching, you know, interview for the Atlanta Falcons. So I think the Bills at one point were like, man, we got to make this formal. We got to put a ring on it, because this isn't.
Didn't the Falcons interview like 14 guys for that job? It was something crazy.
It was something a lot. It was a lot. They interviewed Bill Belichick even, you know. Yeah, they interviewed him. Then they went with Raheem Morris, I believe. So yeah, so maybe it wasn't just him, but you know, people that were losing to other jobs, like nobody's been fired, as far as I know, no one yet. Some would argue there should be some coaches that should maybe be taking a look at, you know, special teams, you know, like something, some other coaching assistant coach could potentially, you know, after having, you know, a terrible regular season, their kicker only getting 2 of 5 in the postseason.
The coverage unions haven't been that good most of the year. And you're still afraid that they're going to drop the ball.
Every time, except that Deontay Hardy touchdown, you've kind of gritted your teeth through every play, right? There's a lot to. So Matthew Smiley, special teams coach, is still on the team for now, which is kind of ironic, in my opinion, because you could technically use him as a scapegoat for losing, even though we agree that Tyler Bass making that field goal doesn't really matter, but he also had a very bad postseason. And then so was the fake punt to DeMar Hamlin. I don't know what was going on. 12 men on the field in the Denver game. I mean, the list goes on. But anyway, I'm not going to go into that. Just, it is what it is. For now, he's staying. Hopefully he turns it around.
I'm okay with a fake punt. I would have rather they have gone for it with the offense. But the fake punt with one less defender on the field is the reason why they audible to that.
One less defender, and they had a numbers game. It was what, 6 against or 5 against 8, right? And the Bills couldn't get 4 yards.
with the Dolphins. They couldn't do it anyway.
It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. But it's funny, like before that play even happened, I'm like, oh, they should go for it.
And they didn't.
And then, well, they did, but they did. It's like, well, maybe they would have got it if they went for it on the offense. I don't know.
We'll never know.
It's frustrating.
But John, there wouldn't be the element of surprise if they went for it on 4th and 5 or whatever on offense. They were trying to hit him with that, which I understand. I get that, like, dude, say what you will about Sean McDermott. Like, that was a creative play. I don't think the Chiefs saw that coming at all. It was just poor execution.
True. Yeah.
Like, I like the play call. I like the idea that, like, they, like you said, they had one less player on the field. Freaking run it, man. Like, you have one
if
less player.
If you're going to do it, you're saving a play like that for the postseason.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes. Yes. It was just terrible execution. If that's against the Bills.
They just didn't do it that good.
They just couldn't do it.
I'll never forget when Sean Payton and the Saints, like, they opened the second half of the Super Bowl and with a onside kick. It's like, oh, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
They got it. It was awesome.
It was one of the ballsiest plays ever, and you remember it.
Didn't see it coming, yeah.
If he botched and they lose, he's the biggest joke ever in Super Bowl history. But because it worked out, Sean Payton is like, wow, the guy's coaching mastermind, right? If that was against the Buffalo Bills, if the Bills were on special teams, like trying to cover the punt and the other team like decided to call that fake punt, you know they would have gotten it too. Like,
that would have been a touchdown.
Damar Hamlin, the Damar Hamlin of the Chiefs, runs it 65 yards for a touchdown.
You ever think we were spoiled in the late 80s, early to mid 90s with Marv Levy? Was like, he was a special teams coach like John Harbaugh is or was. And like, obviously Steve Tasker was a part of that, but like, you know, like the comeback game and Steve Christie recovering his own onside kick and all these other things that happened over those years on special teams. They never had a great return man, but like the coverage units and everything else was on point, you know?
It was, except for the Music City Miracle. But yeah, absolutely. The Marv Levy time frame, yes. Yes.
Yeah, Music City was after
Levy. Was after Marv Levy. Yeah, you're right. You didn't grit your teeth every time, you know, or clench your fist every time that the Bills were about to receive a punt. it just seems so. And then every time the punt returner, in my opinion, goes to run it back, I'm like, don't fumble it. Please don't fumble it. I feel like I don't know. Yeah, we were spoiled during that time frame for sure. In a lot of different things, but I think we're finally starting to get back to that level of talent and skill on the Buffalo Bills team. It's just a matter of putting it all together to get there, to get to the big dance, to get to the Super Bowl, which we're going to talk about a little bit. Buffalo Bills defensive line coach / assistant head coach Eric Washington left the Buffalo Bills for the defensive coordinator position with the Chicago Bears. So that left the door open for Sean McDermott to either keep his role as the defensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills or relinquish it to another coach, either inside or outside the building. And he went with none other than Bobby Babbage, the former safeties, former linebackers coach for the Buffalo Bills, a son of longtime coach Bobby Babbage. I think it's named Robert Babbage, or his dad's also a Babbage. He's a longtime assistant coach for the Buffalo Bills, too, by the way. He coached for the Bills as well. He gave it to Bobby Babbage here, his son. New, young, up-and-coming coach. He was given 3 different interviews for defensive coordinator positions within the NFL. So he was very highly sought after. And I think that the Buffalo Bills and Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, did the right thing by giving him this role, because now he continues to be an integral part of this team. What if you think about it, John and Mike, like, this is each area that he's coached has seen tremendous improvement. Think about safeties. I mean, obviously Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, like that goes without saying. Maybe they're like that without him, but I mean, he got the best out of Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. I'd argue that, you know, we've gotten out of any safety tandem throughout the entire, you know, experience, our experience as a Bills fan. And then you could also argue that since he hasn't been the safeties coach the last couple of years, the safeties play has kind of gone down a little bit, not as good, but still pretty good. Could be due to the age of Poyer and Hyde, but then he becomes a linebackers coach 2 years ago. Tremaine Edmonds has his best season right before free agency. He turns Terrell Bernard into one of the better inside linebackers in the NFL. Matt Milano continues to be a stud. He coaches the best out of, you know, Tyrell Dodson. He makes him like a somewhat startable commodity. Bobby Bagic has done great in his time as a Bills assistant defensive coach. So then, go ahead, John.
I just want to reiterate, it's great to not lose him. It'll be interesting to see next year who's calling the plays, if it's McDermott or him, or how they're going to work that. But I think him remaining with the team is definitely a net positive.
Absolutely. Even if he's not giving play calling duties right away, then that's fine. Like, it's weird. I want to keep him on as a coach, but then also have McDermott still call the defense, like play to play, as weird as that sounds, until maybe he feels like Bobby's ready for it. And knowing McDermott the way he is, I mean, he seems very calculated, right? Like, he doesn't seem like, okay, here you go, good luck. Like, he doesn't seem like, if anything, he's overly cautious, right? Like, he's overly like, we need to make sure that you're 100% ready before we give you this task. So,
yeah, I don't know about cautious, but I agree with the calculating part for sure. I think he definitely evaluates everything to a certain extent before he makes a decision.
So he won't give Bobby Babich play calling duties until he feels like he's ready to do that.
Yeah, he's not like, I mean, you look at the beginning of the year, you know, there are, you know, here's an example. They lost Dable and he gave everything to Dorsey, right? Not a terrible idea, but it didn't work out. I don't know the whole caution of the wind thing, but I think he calculated and then he adjusts those calculations and decided to go in a different direction mid season with Joe Brady, and that seemed to work out. So I think it's kind of like what Brandon Bean always does. It's always like, oh, we're just trying to, you know, it's always like any position we just want to get better at. And I think McDermott is evolving as well and has that mentality where it's like, well, something's not quite working out here. I think we can get better. Let's do this. But he calculates it. I can definitely see that.
Yeah, I agree. It's good to see that sort of thought with your coach. And it kind of coincides with our thoughts. So we like it. We like Bobby Babbage. We like the work that he's done. You know, whereas maybe Eric Washington, you could argue that, you know, we talk at the end of the year press conference, McDermott was asked to evaluate like Bobby Babbage. I think they asked him specifically about Bobby Babbage. And he said, well, it's easy to assess positional coaches because you look at the positions they're coaching and you say, well, they did those positions do a good job, right? Like, did they perform or underperform or overperform, right? Like, he just made it very simple. He's like that. So then you're looking at that and it's like, well, linebackers. Bobby Babbage did a great job coaching up the linebackers, right? Just based on that. Now you look at Eric Washington, the defensive line coach, and you're like, well, based on that logic, I think the defensive line has been underwhelming the last season or so, or at least down the stretch when it really mattered. So maybe that led to the fact that they didn't want to give Eric Washington that DC job, partially because of that. Now, I'm not saying Eric Washington is a bad coach or whatever. I just think it just feels like there's more upside with Bobby Babbage, doesn't there?
Yeah, I agree. And you kind of remind me of another point where, you know, during the drought, we're always clamoring and all the fans are like, oh, they should be doing this. Why do they pay all this money to all these free agents when they should be drafting these guys and like all this stuff? And now it's like we have these ideas in our head as fans. We feel like we know everything.
Because we do.
And the Bills kind of go that way a lot of the time, right? Like, yes. We're talking about Babich or Joe Brady staying as offensive coordinator, not looking to hire somebody else. And obviously there's exceptions to the rule, like midseason people are clamoring for McDermott to be fired. Like, that's insane. But I'm not talking about those fans. I'm talking about fans like us.
Yeah, yeah.
More reasonable.
We're not so knee-jerk reaction sort of fans.
Not to downplay any people that are listening that would have
fired McDermott easily. Yeah, right. A lot of them. But
or even still, some people are still like, oh, they didn't advance further than the divisional playoffs. I think that's insane.
Hey, I might be there in a year. That could be another discussion too. I might be there in a year if this happens again, or if they get, you know, if they don't make the playoffs or they get bounced in the wild card. Like, at some point you have to be like, okay, this is good enough to get to 1 point. Do we need something else to get the extra, you know, to the next level? But not right now. Okay, agreed there. Not right now.
I don't know. I mean, what do you think? He's the Schottenheimer of the Bills? Or do you think... Because there's not many, too many examples of that, right?
No.
Most often, you fire a coach in that predicament, and you get worse. You don't get better.
Yes. I think... We'll see. I don't want to get on to McDermott just yet, but your point is well made. You know, we didn't talk about Joe Brady a whole lot. We just said that he got the job. I mean, you're excited about that move like I am, right? Like, I mean, at least unlike Dorsey, like when Dorsey was hired, that guy had no experience calling plays. At least now we have a small sample size of Joe Brady doing it, and he did it better than the last guy. So you have to think, like, give him another offseason with his...
For sure, and it was mostly with the old guy's playbook, like
old guy's crappy playbook, right?
Well, I,
you ever get stuck with a playbook in Madden?
I don't want to completely shit on it, but like he obviously put his tweaks in. You know, there was a little bit more motion. I would like to see a lot more play action next year. I would like to see the playbook overhauled, and I'm sure it's gonna be. He just can't do that halfway through the year with. Everybody knows it already, so you have to kind of just tweak it kind of and then go from there, you know, game by game. Obviously, each week you can put new wrinkles in, but from, you know, he kept winning either way. It's not like, oh, he lost a few games and they got, no, they won almost every single game since he was in there. So,
yeah,
they looked better. There were times like in the Patriots game and, was it the Chargers? Like the offense could have been better, but overall, it was better than it was the first half of the year, I thought.
Yep, they were able to run the ball much better after Brady took over, I thought.
Yeah, so, Cook finished. James Cook was like the fourth in rushing yards,
something like that.
Fourth, in the whole NFL,
fourth or fifth. Yeah, he finished the season strong. And to your point, that's why you made me think of the rushing is because of play action. Like it might actually be useful now. Before there, people are like, "Who cares? Go ahead." Try to play action. We know you're not going to run the ball because you suck at running. Go ahead. Do play action. Yeah. We're not going to go after or whatever, but now it's a threat. So it should be used more. Agreed. You know, you guys haven't seen the final season of Ted Lasso yet, right?
Yes.
Oh, you have seen it. Okay. John's seen it. Okay. Mike hasn't.
Mike's shaking his head.
That's okay. Mike hasn't, but I'm not going to give it away completely. No. At one point, I will say Ted Lasso decides to change their style of play. As Mike takes his headphones out of his, Mike's got that dumb grin on his face. No, just kidding. He's not grinning. Just that dumb look in general. So,
do you think he can hear us, or do you think he really took him out and he's not listening to the speakers?
No, I don't think he's listening. No, we're not done yet, Mike. I'm shaking my head. We're not done yet. So he's asking if we're done because he took his headphones out. So, so Ted Lasso decides to change his game plan, right, John? Like throughout, like halfway through their season, because it's not going great. And he's like, I want to change it to this new method of, he was like in Amsterdam and I don't know if he had a few drinks or what. He just came up with this new game plan. And he goes to his assistant coaches. He's like, how much time would it take to implement a whole new offense? And they're like, you need at least a season before you can start to like, and he's like, well, we don't have a season. So they do it mid game or mid season. And it made me think of Joe Brady, like Joe Brady trying to implement a new, and I won't, you know, give away how the results go for Ted Lasso, but like, you know, it was a little difficult at first, right? Like, so I always think of Joe Brady in this aspect of him trying to start over in the middle of a season, like Ted Lasso did with a brand new playbook. It's tough. It's very undoable. So now I'm excited, especially because it sounds like, based on what the players were saying, and the players have been going out of their way to say that they really like Dorsey, like they will not shit on Dorsey whatsoever, like, which is good, which you like to see, you know, because nobody hated Dorsey. He just wasn't doing that well, you know. It's just the way the business. So in saying that,
yeah, it just didn't work out.
In saying that, Mike can come back on now. In saying that,
hello.
He might be successful in Cleveland, and that's fine. Like, sometimes it's just, you know.
Wait, Ted Lasso goes somewhere else?
We're talking about Dorsey now. Ted Lasso leaves the Premier League to coach for Cleveland.
He started as a football coach, right?
Oh, yeah. If I remember. Maybe he gets relegated from the Premier League down to Cleveland coaching the Browns. But the players have been saying that, like, Joe Brady is a player's coach. And with that, like, they get their input. It feels like their input is more taken into account with Joe Brady than it did with Ken Dorsey. And that could be a good thing, and it could also be a bad thing. But, it, you know, in this case, it sounds like it's a good thing, and it worked. So those were the big coaching changes for the Buffalo Bills. Any final thoughts on that, guys, before we go into 2023 season award?
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. So let's start with, you guys want to do Wall of Fame, Wall of Shame on the offense and defense? Maybe most disappointing, most improved, or most surprising, kind of like we did for the midseason awards. It has to be like Wall of Fame offense, not named Josh Allen, because he's going to be the Wall of Fame. He's going to be on the Wall of Fame. So Wall of Fame on the offense, not named Josh Allen. Who would you give? I was thinking about this. This is a tough one, right? Like, this is normally it'd be like Stephon Diggs. Okay, next question, right? Wall of Fame on the offense, not named Josh Allen. I think that's a really tough award to give out. I'd give it to James Cook. Like you said, he was the top five in rushing, but those two drop passes.
Osiris Torrance.
Ooh, Osiris Torrance. I think he played 100% of the snaps all season long in his rookie year.
The only player to play 100% of the snaps on the offense.
That's a good one, John.
And maybe even
yeah, that's a good one. I would say Kincaid. That's just met and exceeded our expectations.
I think that's a lot for Kincaid, just because he didn't see all the snaps like he could have in the receiving role. And it's not necessarily his fault, because I think he did a really good job. I think it was more just they didn't utilize him enough like they could have. I think he could have had well over 1,000 yards this season if they used him correctly. I think he has.
If Knox didn't get hurt, he could have had way less uses.
Yeah, exactly.
So you disagree with mine?
I don't love it.
I think Cook could have had 2,000 yards if he was utilized correctly. There.
Well, Cook isn't mine, so I'm going to give.
I thought it was.
No. I said, who do you give it to? And I was just listing players. Like, I don't.
Why don't you just tell us?
I'm going to give it.
Nate's ready. Nate's ready.
I'm
it's
just
not going to be. It's not going to be Torres either. I guarantee it.
I'm going to give it to Deion Dawkins. Deion Dawkins is on my Wall of Fame for a couple of different things. First off, he asserted himself as one of the better tackles, I think, in the NFL. And he added a new wrinkle to his game this year, which he admitted on another podcast. I was listening to the Centered on Buffalo pod with Eric Wood. And what's awesome is he has access to all these Bills players, so he has them on. And he talked about how Dawkins didn't really like to run block before. He wasn't a big fan of it. And then Joe Brady, you know.
I don't like when you talk up other podcasts. Like, when you're watching a Coke commercial, do it. Oh, you know what's great? Pepsi.
Well, people probably know that other podcast exists, but
I didn't.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I didn't mean to talk up Eric. Eric Woods come on the podcast, though, so I feel like it's okay. I feel like it's all right, but I see your point. Okay, so on some other podcast, some other unnamed podcast. Yeah, which is probably worse than ours. he mentioned that he didn't like to run block. And also, like, the Deion Dawkins thing is kind of twofold in the fact that he got better than he was in 2022. He had a really bad year last season, the 2022. Like, it wasn't good. In, I don't know if it was injuries or what, but, like, we wondered this season if he was going to show up at all. And we mentioned before the season that he was, like, one of our most important players on the entire roster, because if he goes down, like, you know, who's taking care of Josh's blind side? And I thought he did a really good job, minus that, you know, Chris Jones hit the end of the Chiefs game that, you know, caused that pass to go kind of sail a little bit wide of Shakir.
They cost him the season.
I mean, other than that, like,
but your reasoning, you're saying, like, oh, because he had such a bad year prior. So to that logic, anybody to get your award should just sandbag it completely.
No, I think he got back to the level where he was very, very, very good. Is my point. And that might have also had to do with Connor McGovern, right? Like, Connor McGovern's maybe a better left guard than, you know, what he had last year. I can't remember who he was even there last. Oh, it was Ryan Bates the year before. Okay. So Ryan Bates, right? Like, it just, that might have helped. But he just returned to that level, and he was had one of his better seasons in the NFL at his age. So, yeah. And he added to his game too, Mike. So not only did he, you know, keep his pass blocking up, and he had a great year pass blocking, but he also did really well run blocking. So he says he doesn't like to do that.
He was finally willing to run block.
Let's throw him a parade. you're just pissed off because I don't love the Dalton Kincaid. John, who do you like better as the Wall of Shame or Wall of Fame? Mine or Mike's?
You know, I was actually, let's not dismiss my pick. I why don't we all pick a secondary option and see who it is?
Osiris Torrance. Okay, now pick yours. Osiris Torrance, without a doubt. I almost chose him as mine.
Now pick yours.
Oh, you both picked Torrance? Well, it doesn't matter who I pick. Kincaid.
Yes! Such bullshit.
It was his first year in the league.
He did well. He wasn't the Wall of Fame.
Hey, on a team that doesn't MVP. Even let rookies play.
Hey, how about this, though, for Brandon Bean, those first two picks?
Hits.
Pretty money, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I don't think he's ever hit on his first two picks like this. Both starters, almost starters. I mean, Dalton Kincaid, not starting yet, but...
It should be starting.
Should be starting. If there was any way, so there's no way to get out of Dawson Knox's contract, but if there was, I'd say he has...
Restructure. Restructure Knox.
If there was one player where you're just like, that was a terrible contract, I think it's Dawson Knox's contract. I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm not saying he isn't a team player, because he's like, dude, I'll do whatever you want. He's like, if you want me to be fullback the entire game, I'll do that. Like, you know, coaches have said that.
It's tough. He was improving and didn't have anybody else. Now they have somebody else, and now it's like, oh, that's a bad contract. Same thing with Von Miller. It's like, oh, that was a terrible contract. Well, because he got hurt, but, like, he was good before he got hurt. That doesn't count.
You're getting ahead of me for Wall of Shame on the defensive side or whatever.
Like,
if
you're hurt, if you're injured, you can't, like, as a fan, you can't be like, oh, that was a terrible contract. He was good before for the Bills. He was good for the Bills before he got hurt.
He was.
You can't count that.
You know what Von Miller's 2023 season reminds me of in meme form? Have you ever, guys, I know Mike's seen it because I recommended it to you. John, have you ever seen the skit show on Netflix called I Think You Should Leave?
I don't think so.
It's like a newer, I think it's been out a couple seasons. It's one of those things where it's like hit or miss, but like when it's hit, like it is hysterical. Like, I love it. And Mike, you'll remember this. There's that one skit. I don't even know what they're talking about. They show people in the military who's like, I'm doing my part. I'm doing my part. And then there's like three or four of them. I'm doing my part. And then they show the main character. He's like, I didn't do fucking shit. And that makes me think of Von Miller's 2023 season. It's like Terrell Bernard. I'm doing my job. You know, everyone else. I'm doing my job. Then they get to Von Miller. I didn't do fucking shit.
think about Tre'Davious White when he came back from his injury. It took a while for him to get back to form, and then all of a sudden he's awesome again. Unfortunately, he got hurt again, but for the second time, feel really bad for the guy. But like, Miller could come back in September. He'd be fantastic. He's older, but you don't know.
The way you place empathy just is striking to me. So, why are you shaking your head?
No, I agree. Usually I agree. It's bullshit.
Okay. I thought I had like no sound or something.
No.
I want you to be happy in life, John. And so when you're like, oh, I'm spending this empathy for Tre'Davious White, like the 7.9 billion people on the earth would trade for like that. The people
don't get me wrong. I think they should cut White and save 6 point whatever million on the cap. I still feel bad for the guy, but I'm saying they should cut him.
I was in the hospital longer than Tre'Davious White, and I didn't get this much empathy.
I don't think John even knew you were having surgery.
John's talked about Tre'Davious White nonstop since that injury every single week of the podcast. Not even a text from him saying,
"What has he made lifetime earnings to rehab?" Oh, I mean, just
you tell me. You're trying to prove a point here. So
he's probably at least 40.
What
50
is it?
Million? 40, 50, 60 million lifetime earnings?
Are you just throwing out numbers? You know this?
Don't you just
at some point it doesn't matter. I would argue over 10 million. It probably doesn't matter.
But that wasn't the point I was trying to make. The point I was trying to make was when he came back from his first injury, it took longer than normal before he was really good again. Maybe the same could happen for Von Miller. I don't know. But they're stuck with him, so we can hope for that. They can't trade him or cut him. Trey White, though, they could cut.
Yeah, that might be a tough decision when it comes down to it. And you do feel worse for him than you did for Von Miller. I think if Von, it's all about life. The older I get, the more I realize it's all about setting expectations. And we've talked about this with Von Miller. If Von Miller didn't come out before the season and said, I'm going to be ready week one, if he was just like, I'm doing the best I can, I'm rehabbing, I've been through this before, it's not easy, but I'm going to, you know, hopefully it'll get, then we all would have changed our expectations for Von Miller. Nobody would have figured that he'd be ready by week six when he actually did get, you know, playing time or week five or whatever it was. Like we were all thinking like, okay, now he's ready. Okay. It took a little bit longer than he said. None of us thought it was going to be week one. Okay. It's all about expectations. You set expectations as I'm going to be ready week one. People expect you by week six to be the Von Miller of 2022. And when you don't have one sack the entire season out of 10, 12, 13 games, like people are pissed off. I'm pissed off.
Part of that is his own. That's just his personality being positive. He's, The like within a week of him getting injured initially, he's like, nah, I'll miss 1 week, but definitely by the week after, I'm going to be good to go. And but I might still be good this week too. And then it's like a year later before you even saw the like, it's just his personality. He wants to be positive, and you can't blame him for that.
Nate and I absolutely do blame him because people's personalities can be flawed all the time.
As a fan, you can't set your expectations based on what
he's literally a player telling
is
you.
Saying.
It's not innuendo. It's not reading between the lines. He's literally telling you.
Yeah, he's not a doctor. He's just saying, no, I feel like I'm going to be good. What player wouldn't say that?
This reminds me of, do you remember that Adam Sandler album with Skid? It was like, is this people having sex or working out? Like they're just like, you hear people groaning and be like, oh yeah, that's definitely two people having sex. He's like, no, they're actually weightlifting. And then they finally get to like the third or fourth one where the people are like, we're definitely not working out, we're definitely having sex. And people are like, those are two people having sex. They're like, nope, working out, sorry. This is like this, it's like Von Miller, like I'm definitely coming back week one. It's just like, well, you can't read between the lines. You know, you never know. Like he's like him thinking that he didn't even tear his ACL. Like, I'm glad you brought that up, John, because it's like, how do you not know? You just tore your ACL, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. He's like, I might be back before the end of the season. I don't know.
Well, like, if you remember, like, he was seeking, like, a second opinion and making sure that they interview McDermott and he gives a canned response and the reporters are disappointed because, you know, he's saying the same thing he always says. So now like people latch on to like the tiniest thing that Stephon Diggs says that's really cryptic apparently, or something Von Miller says, and they run with that instead because they can't get anything out of the coach or Bean or whoever else that they're interviewing. It's just all media stuff. Who cares? at the end of the day, it's what the coaches and the general manager decides who's going to be on the field that day, what they're going to do, what the game plan is, and go from there.
I wish that Von Miller would had more canned answers and was like more cryptic than him coming out and saying what he thought, or at least telling the general public, like when he clearly either he was not in it mentally at all this season, or physically he wasn't. You know, physically he wasn't ready to be playing. But you know what I'll say to that? This is how I think he was physically ready. His mind was just not in it for whatever reason, and he just basically took 2023 off. It was like his senior skip year or something. I don't know. He had senioritis this last season because Sean McDermott is very reluctant to play players when they're injured. Like, look at Rasul Douglas. He didn't play him against the Steelers, even though he probably could have, they said. But he wanted to play it safe. He wasn't up to 70, 80% or whatever it was to get him to play. So that's why he played for the Chiefs game. And you could still tell he was hobbled. So, in saying that, I think that Von Miller was physically ready to play. He was physically ready. Sean McDermott wouldn't have pushed him out there just because of that. So I think he was ready physically. Maybe he was 70, 80% at the beginning of the season. And then eventually he got to 100% at some point or whatever. But he was good enough to play. It was just all on Von. It was all on Von.
Yeah, but how many snaps did he play in those games? He's active, but that doesn't mean he played how many.
I want to say he was playing 30 to 40% of the snaps, but when he was healthy, he was playing 50 to 60%. It wasn't like that much. It wasn't a ridiculous amount less. And he wasn't active that one game.
And how was that compared to the other healthy defensive ends?
John, he didn't have a sack all season. Like, he could have played, like, if he played enough, you know, snaps to get a sack, which is probably like, what, 100 snaps or 80 snaps or whatever it took. You know, he probably got a sack every, like, you know, 60, 70 snaps in 2022.
But he played less than he did before the injury.
But not enough, right, to not make an impact at all. Remember, that was a big joke? AJ Klein had more tackles than Von Miller in one game. He had three times more tackles than Von Miller in one game
He's a linebacker. He should get more tackles.
In one game, John, compared to 10, yes, 12 games. That's...
Oh, you're saying over the course of...
Because he had nine tackles in one game. That was three times.
I thought you were talking in the same game.
No.
I mean, we can all agree that his season was a huge disappointment.
No, John's sticking up for Von Miller. He thinks Von Miller had a great season, apparently. No sacks, four tackles or something.
Don't remember saying that, but okay.
We're all disappointed in his season.
Yes, we're all disappointed in the season.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, we yes. Where are we?
And it was because he set expectations way too high.
Well, that's what. Yeah, it's all about what he said, right? And like,
exactly,
people get all up in arms about what other players say or do or don't say or don't do, and like, who cares? It's not. That's.
I'd say we were even more conservative.
I don't think we shouldn't believe what the players or the coaches say in interviews ever.
Yeah, but if he says I'm going to be ready for week one, we all agree.
Unless there's somebody ranting, like in a post game press conference, like, you know, Dennis Green or Jim Mora, or like,
you don't get anything from those guys.
Yeah, like, unless it's one of those sound bites. No, I don't believe anything that any of these guys are saying.
Yeah. So, offensive wall of shame. Who would you put on your offensive side of the ball? Wall of shame for the way that this season played out. I mean, I was going to say Ken Dorsey, but it's like, well, he's still not on the team. I kind of got to put, I hate saying this, but Gabe Davis was injured down the stretch. He probably would have been on it, but Stephon Diggs, I'm going to put Stephon Diggs on my wall of shame for 2023. And not that I think he's a bad wide receiver, not that I think he couldn't bounce back in 2024, but I mean, Khalil Shakir was outperforming him the second half of the season. And like you were saying, John, with the cryptic things that Stephon Diggs is saying, it wasn't that bad. I mean, but the fact that when he was interviewed at the Pro Bowl and he didn't say, I love Josh Allen and I want to stay in Buffalo, that he basically just said, you know, we'll see and I'm not sure. Or whatever. He didn't say that he was on good terms with Josh Allen. He didn't say he saw himself in Buffalo in 2024. So just a disappointing end of the season for me. I can't give it to James Cook because there was really only two plays where it was really maybe three or four that were, you know, fumbles or whatever. But the guy touches the ball so much more often. I just, you know what that Stephon Diggs, that drop against the Chiefs, really disappointed, was because he looked back at Josh and just gave him that little, like, his little fingers, like, this close. Like, come on, man. Like, this has been this close, like, the last eight games. I don't know. I expect more. I still love Diggs. I still think he's a great player. His second half was just too disappointing for me to leave him off the wall of shame. John, do you want to go next? Mike?
I'll go. I think Diggs, where else can it's, in my mind, it's Gabe Davis or Diggs, and Davis has the benefit of being injured.
John, 3 for 3?
Davis. I go with Davis.
You just got done even with your soliloquy of injuries can't hurt you.
Even when he wasn't injured, it's 50-50 whether he even gets targeted or catches a pass in a game.
I was going to go only, with him, but he convinced me.
His only saving grace was he was a pretty damn good blocker. I mean, I can see why we'd pick Diggs too. I mean, they're both up there, which is kind of sad because they need wide receivers.
Doesn't this highlight the need even more though? Like, we didn't even give it to Dawson Knox, right? Like, we gave it to a wide receiver, Davis and Diggs.
Well, part of me thinks, like, at the end, like last year, like the whole problem was, it was too transparent. It's like Allen to Diggs. That's the only thing they could do. They need other receiving weapons. And now this year, especially in the second half of the year, they were like, oh, Shakir and Kincaid. Well, Kincaid in the middle of the year too. And Cook at times. They had, you know, different receiving weapons. But then when push came to shove down the stretch and, you know, the big bomb, you know, I don't know if I can forgive, but Sherfield had drops that also, not just Diggs, but Sherfield's fourth or fifth receiver at that point, right? Yeah. Diggs is supposed to be the alpha guy. So that's what makes that harder. It's just,
you know, Joe B did his all 22 review and he was like, Diggs is open. Like, it's not a matter of him not being able to get open anymore. He's like, the offense just isn't, it's just not focusing Josh's attention on Diggs. Can we say, like, we all love that Joe Brady is the new offensive coordinator. Can I say that that's one of my biggest knocks on him is not getting Diggs more involved? Like you just said that, John, it made me think of it. I think Dorsey made him overemphasized, and I think that Brady made him underemphasized.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there needs to be some sort of medium for that. And maybe, you know, having this offseason to readjust, and that's why I'm hopeful for Joe Brady.
Yeah.
Diggs isn't going anywhere. No, they couldn't, even if they wanted to, they couldn't.
The amount of money they'd lose, it wouldn't be worth it. You always have to look at, like, you know, how much would it cost to get rid of someone, and then what are you left with? Is it worth just losing the player altogether or just overpaying for the player to have his performance, right? And it doesn't make sense to get zero away from trading Diggs or releasing him. It doesn't make sense because you get zero for him and you still take a huge chunk of dead cap. It doesn't make sense. So, yeah, I agree.
And no matter how you slice it, he's still their best receiver. Receiving weapon.
Yep, absolutely. What do you think about, okay, let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Who is on your wall of fame for the defense in 2023? John, I'll start with you first. I think I know exactly where you're going to go without you even needing to mention this, but I'll start with you.
Bernard has to be, right? As I predicted, of course, in the offseason.
The Nard dog.
Maybe not being the best player, but definitely I thought he would be capable.
Yeah. I like the Nard dog too. I want to give an honorable mention though to Ed Oliver and Rasul Douglas. I think if Ed Oliver did not show up against the Chiefs game, but I mean, he just got bullied in that game. And then Rasul Douglas, I mean, he just wasn't there the whole season. So, but I really liked what he brought. But yeah, Terrell Bernard for me is the wall of fame on defense. Mike, who's your wall of fame on the defensive side of the ball?
Rasul Douglas, even with half a year, just I don't know where we would have been without him.
Would you, Mike, is it even a question? Like, if you have to pick Tre'Davious White coming off an ACL, they're both the same age. Tre'Davious White coming off an ACL or Rasul Douglas, got to pick one. You go Rasul?
I like both.
I know, but you have to pick one.
I'm keeping both, Nate.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Douglas if you had asked me.
I'm going to go with the guy that didn't just get over an Achilles.
Cutting Trey White this year to save cap money. They're $43 million over the cap. They got to make some tough decisions. I think Trey White's going to be one of them.
They can restructure Allen's deal this season and save like $24 million, I think it is. So, like, mm-hmm. they take a big chunk out of that. Like, that's the first step. But anyway, but yeah, still, though, they don't have enough money.
There's a few restructures and there's a few cuts, and I think Trey White's going to be one of the cuts.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Do you think, like, the Bills don't
he might not even be. He might not even be fully ready to go in September either.
Yeah, he might not do anything during training camp, right? Like, it might be. He needs to go on the ayahuasca retreats or whatever the Aaron Rodgers did right before he was about to play with the same torn Achilles, you know? Yeah.
This, I mean, this goes into like what, you know, you guys are making fun of me for feeling bad for the guy, but like, he might not be on a team in September.
Yeah. We were making fun of you that you felt bad for Tre'Davious White.
It like sounded that. Like it.
No, it was just. Yeah. I feel bad for him too. Who doesn't love Trey White? He's one of the most likable players on the entire team, for sure. Personality wise and play wise and everything. You love Trey. Everyone loves Trey White. So let's see. defensive side of the ball, wall of shame. Can you do a wall of shame that's not Von Miller? Because I think that's pretty obvious, right?
It might just be the pass rush in general. I mean, they opened the year okay. There were flashes, right? Leonard Floyd, Epinesa. There were good plays, memorable plays. But they tried to build this team for the Chiefs and to pass rush Mahomes from a couple years, 2-3 years ago. And it just hasn't come to fruition. And now edge rusher is still one of their top needs heading into next year. And they have so much tied up into it between Miller and Rousseau's still on his rookie contract. But all these other guys, that's got to be a wall of shame.
John, guess how many defensive linemen the Bills have under contract in 2024?
So defensive tackle is, I think, is just Oliver.
Correct.
For end, I'm going to say Von Miller.
Correct.
And it's two.
Greg Rousseau, you just mentioned
oh,
this.
Oh, AJ Kingsley Jonathan.
Kingsley Jonathan, four.
Rousseau.
That's four.
Is that it?
That's it.
That's it.
That is it. It's all the Bills have under contract. So when we talk about Bills needs, we're going to talk about that in a future episode. But like, as much as you... as disappointing as the Bills pass rush was, I mean, they only have four of those guys coming back, and one of them was terrible.
So if you had a pick, so...
And one of them was inactive most of the season, so that's not good.
This is premature to ask, probably. So we'll talk about it probably in the coming weeks, but if you had to pick just one player who they're losing to free agency to bring back, who would it be on the entire team?
I think I'd stick with this group, and I'd say Daquan Jones.
I agree, Daquan Jones.
Is that what you were going to say too? Okay.
Yep.
Because I think he was, would you argue he's the best one-tech defensive tackle we've had in the Sean McDermott era? Because I think he is. I can't think of
anyone. And when he's been out, it's hurt. Especially, maybe not as much this year, but last year in particular, when he was out.
Oh, yeah.
It hurt even more, I thought. They were able to scheme some things this year, but I think... him being next to Oliver is a huge plus.
Defensive tackle is one of the few positions, and I don't think it's defensive end necessarily yet, at least in the first couple of rounds, but if the Bills don't go wide receiver in the first round, I could see defensive tackle easily being that position that they go after.
Or safety. I mean, it all depends who's available and how they tier everything.
Yes.
But I could see safety, too.
Safety, I agree. It could be safety, because they only have Poyer on their roster right now. So anyway, yeah, wall of shame, pass rush. Mike, do you agree 3 for 3, pass rush, defensive wall of shame?
Yeah, no doubt.
What about, so we kind of did most disappointing, so I kind of think that that's Von Miller, unless you guys have another most disappointing of 2023, wall of shame, whatever. Most surprising, in a good way, obviously, most surprising of any Bills player. And if we had to give it to somebody that wasn't... a player that we've mentioned already, like Terrell Bernard, I'd say was one of the most surprising players. But if you had to give it to somebody that you haven't mentioned yet, like I think I would give it to Spencer Brown. Spencer Brown is one of the most surprising players of this season. I think he had his best season by far as a player. And I've listened to other interviews on other podcasts, which I won't mention, Mike, that people talked, like Deion Dawkins talked about him, Mitch Morse talked about him, and they're like, people were saying that he was going to be a bust. People, and he, credit to him, he turned it around and showed them that he wasn't going to be, he didn't go down that road. And they're like, he put everything together. And Deion Dawkins was actually much more frank about it. And he was just like, man, he's like, he kind of got in his ear. Like, you gotta get your shit together, man. And dude, tons of credit to Spencer Brown. He was not a liability this last season at all. I'd say he played at above average level. So, he is my most surprising in a good way. Obviously, player on the Bills this season. Tons of credit to him. It's so easy to see guys like the Cody Fords of the Buffalo Bills that just can't seem to make it. And this guy pulled himself out of it and finally put his potential out there. Stopped making it potential and turned it into real, kinetic. I don't know what it is, whatever it is. Mike, John, who is your most surprising Buffalo Bill in the 2023 season? I'll start with you, John.
That's a really good one. My mind goes to like rookies and second year guys, like a lot of we've already talked about, like Torrance and Kincaid and Bernard, Shakir. We haven't really talked about Shakir, but no, I think you've convinced me Spencer Brown would be up there.
Mike, 3 for 3, Spencer Brown, or you got someone better?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, real quick, I know Mike's got to head out. Super Bowl predictions before next week. I think next week we're going to talk more about the salary cap and stuff like that. Super Bowl predictions. I mentioned earlier, I think that the Chiefs are going to win, not because I want them to win, but just because if I'm going to bet this game, I'm going to bet the Chiefs money line, because I like to do this thing now where I bet on the teams that I don't want to win, just because it's like, I'll bet their money line because either way I win. I do not want the Chiefs to win, but if they're going to win, I might as well make some money off of it, because otherwise I'm just screwed both ways. If I bet on the 49ers and then they lose and I lose money, you know, this way at least there's one win. It's loss win or win loss. Either way, I win something. What do you guys think? I do think the Chiefs will win though, but
what's the line?
Last time I checked, it was Chiefs -2.
At the beginning of the week, or maybe it was last week, when I first opened it, I saw Niners -1.
Sorry, Niners -2. I thought that's what it was. Sorry. And now I just got locked out of my account. Hold. Like, reset password. Like, really? All right.
So we definitely know they wanted Taylor Swift to get to the Super Bowl. So now we just have to predict the script for who wins the Super Bowl.
The 49ers are 2-point favorites, yes. Dude, that would make for the best song ever, is her talking about, because she's never known for making like really happy songs, like, oh, this is great, like life's amazing. They're all about breakups, right? And disappointing, people disappointing you, right? Wouldn't that be perfect if the Chiefs lost the Super Bowl? Be a perfect hit, 1 yard short.
But then we couldn't see her hoist the Lombardi.
Mm. Oh, the NFL wants us so bad.
Think of all the views.
So, Mike, what do you think?
Don't know. Hoping for a close game, I guess I would take the points. Tough to go against Mahomes with just so many weapons on the 49ers offense, right? And they have the arrest of Mahomes Sr. hanging over their heads. Last time they had a Chiefs guy arrested, they lost that Super Bowl.
Did they lose that one against when Andy Reid's son?
That was Tampa Bay.
Oh, really? Yeah, that was so much worse. He like hurt someone terribly, like a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that guy. Anyway, yeah. I remember hoping that they would lose because of that, specifically the week before. So you think that they don't come out? Yeah, that's going to be on Mahomes' mouth. That's going to affect his. Okay. Yeah. Now you've convinced me. It's too late, Mike.
I have no idea.
No. You spoke very clearly here. You're like, not trying to, Nate. Don't. No, you've made it. I'm going Chiefs now. Or no, I am going.
I'm staying away.
John, do you care? Obviously, we all don't want the Chiefs to win, right? Like, we're against.
I'm no rooting interest. Just hoping for a close game.
Okay.
Fun, close game. Right? That'll be fun.
That would be fun.
I inevitably end up cheering for who's ever down big. So, like, you get disappointed every time.
Except for that Patriots Super Bowl where they're down 28-3 against the Falcons.
But that's the one time you're like, yeah, I don't like the Patriots.
Do you remember that game? You were texting me and you're like, how can we put money on the Patriots? And I remember thinking, like, well, there's no legal way to do it because sports gambling wasn't legal. So I'm texting my buddy and he's just like, well, you could do it through me, but then I'd have to, and I was just like, you know what? Just fucking forget it. Okay. Just, I'm not going to do it. And then I remember it being like
we'd be retired.
Yeah.
In a Caribbean palace.
Yeah. Little Saint Mike. Little Saint Nate. We'd have our own little islands, right? Tax-free or international waters. Anything? So, yeah. John, who do you think?
What do I think or what do I want?
Both.
I want the 49ers. I think that it's rigged.
All right, fellas.
All right, thanks, Mike. We know Mike's got a
enjoy
hard out.
Enjoy the game.
Signing off for Mike.
See ya. Go Bills. Next year's our year.
Oh, so real quick. Okay, John, let's sign off for you because Mike can't get off until we all go. Signing off for John.
Go Bills.
I don't think he can leave. I guess he can't. Oh, well, he just made himself inactive.
I think you can do whatever you want.
Okay. I will. I will do whatever I want. Okay. So what were you going to say about the Chiefs Bills or Chiefs Niners?
I don't know if I have anything else.
Okay. All right.
Fuck the NFL.
So next week.
No fun league.
We're not going to record next week after the Super Bowl game because just it's going to be a late night in general. And it's not a Bills primetime game, so I'm not going to subject us to being up till 3 a.m. like I normally do. So let's do
I'm not going to watch that anyway, so we can just do it during the game. You want to record during the
whatever,
Super Bowl?
Let's just record. Let's talk Bills, Bill's salary cap right after.
I'm not going to watch.
Dude, I actually might be there with you because I know my wife's not going to stay up to watch the game. She'll probably be done at 9, so I might just be hanging out. So maybe we will record. We'll see. Maybe it's me and you next week.
If not, I'm just going to play video games.
Nice. All right. Well, let's call it a podcast. I appreciate every one of you guys for listening. Thank you for being a part of this. Please rate, subscribe, review. Tell your friends if you like the Buffalo Bills and you like this podcast. You probably have cool friends that are also into cool things as well as you are. So let them know about the CT Dubs, Circling the Wagons. So signing off for John.
Go Bills.
And for me, Nate, go Bills. It still stings a little bit, just a little bit. I know we're going to get over it soon. It's going to help if the 49ers win. But we'll talk to you guys again maybe next week, but probably more likely the week after to talk more Bills salary cap, free agency, all that fun stuff. And we'll talk to you guys then. Go Bills.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod @gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, Nate.
Well, listen, the whole show is called Circling the Wagons. Say no more. I love it.
Support for this show comes from ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. You've heard the big hype around AI. The truth is, AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow is the platform that puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/AI for people to learn more.
Support for this podcast came from SAS. Data is everything, and now everything is data.
which means more to process, more to analyze. And now more than ever, speed to answers matters. So how do you produce those answers as fast as the world produces data? With SAS Viya, the quickest way from a billion points of data to a point of view. It's a more productive data and AI platform that helps you get more done. Learn more today at sas.com/VIYA.